as we come to what God's word has to say to us this morning. God, I pray that the thoughts of my heart and the words of my mouth, and indeed the thoughts of each of our heart this morning as we hear from you and are attentive to that they would be pleasing in your sight. God, we thank you for your work and we thank you for your word. And thank you that you reveal yourself to us. Thank you that you remind us of important things that are important to you. And we pray that this morning afresh, that would be true for each of us. And we ask this in your name. Amen. I have something in my hand that looks real, but in reality isn't. That looks like it's worth something, but in reality is worthless. That looks like it's perhaps something that I could get some reward for, but in reality I could get little or no reward for. What is it? It's fool's gold. It's not the real thing. It's not gold, even though it looks like gold. And those words could be used to describe not only what I had in my hand there, fool's gold, but they're also words that Jesus uses in the reading that Dorothy just read to us to describe about doing things. Jesus uses those words to describe doing things to impress others. Instead of being worthless, instead of being worth something before God, it's worthless before God. Instead of being real, it's not real. Instead of being rewarded by God for it, there's little or no reward from God for it. We've focused over recent weeks at what Jesus has to say to us as his followers about issues like judging, issues like dealing with a broken relationship, issues like forgiveness, as you heard from Michelle last week. And yet in the midst of these focuses, we find Jesus actually saying more about what than any of these things, as important as these other things are. He actually spends more time talking about not looking to impress others. It might seem a bit of a surprise to discover that Jesus talks more about not looking to impress than about not judging or not dealing with a broken relationship or not forgiving. Yet that's the reality. And it's an indicator not only of how easily any of us, he recognizes how easy any of us can fall into this trap of looking to impress others, but it's also an indicator of how important not doing that is to God. Jesus begins with these words. Start of Matthew 6, as Dorothy just read them to you. Be careful not to practice your righteousness or your acts of righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And some translations say, instead of be careful, beware not to do your acts of righteousness before others to be seen by them. The word in the original language means to be on a state of high alert. It's a word that warns of danger ahead, perhaps like a sign by the side of the road which warns of water over the road ahead or of some hazard ahead. Speaking of a warning sign by the road, there was a motorist driving in the country and he came across two pastors who were standing on the side of the road. I have a sense of humour and I like to have a sense of humour about myself as well, and even pastors. And this motorist saw two pastors standing by the side of the road with a sign that read, "Turn around, the end is near." The motorist wound down his window and snarled, "Don't preach at me. I'll do what I like," before he drove on at a great rate of knots. Seconds later, the pastors heard tyres screeching before a great splash. One pastor turned to the other and said, "I told you we should have just written bridge out." Jesus is drawing our attention here, though, to what? To be on high alert, to be very careful that we do what we do as a part of our Christian faith, life and service for the right audience, with the right motives and in the right way. Take a closer look at each of those aspects this morning. But before we do, a few initial things we need to be aware of to fully appreciate what Jesus is saying. Jesus is using three examples of acts of righteousness. He speaks about giving, he speaks about prayer, and he speaks about fasting. And you might ask, well, why does he particularly mention these three things? When we read what's here, we need to understand that Jesus isn't just saying what I'm speaking about here is applicable to giving, it's applicable to prayer, and it's applicable to fasting. It is, but it's much broader than that. But Jesus used these three things simply because they were the key areas of faith and life for Jews. And most of those who first heard these words were either Christians from a Jewish background, or they were Jews who were seeking to know more about what was involved in following Jesus. But the point Jesus is making about doing things, even good things, to try to impress or win the approval of others, as I said, applies not only to the areas of giving and prayer and fasting. It actually applies to any area of our faith and our life and our service where we find ourselves, sometimes without even fully realizing it, being more focused on what others think than on what God thinks. Or if we find ourselves being more focused on seeking the approval of others than seeking the approval of God. Or being more focused on looking like we've got it all together when in reality we haven't. One another initial thing to say right at the start as well. Jesus does not say if you give, or if you pray, or if you fast. No, he says when you give, when you pray, when you fast. He assumes that as his followers, we are active in our faith and our life and our service in these areas and in other areas that go broader than these things. Jesus is not saying, don't do these and don't do other aspects of Christian life and service. He's simply saying, don't do them in the wrong way. So let's start with the first of the things Jesus draws our attention to here in these verses, which is be very careful that we do what we do in our Christian life and service for the right audience. Notice the little phrase that is there not only in verse 1, but it's there in verse 5, and it's implied in two other spots as well in the verses that Dorothy read to us. It says the little phrase to be seen by them. It's there in verse 1. When you come to verse 5 about prayer, it says... When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites standing on the synagogues in the street corners to be seen by others. There it is arising again. And in verse 2 and verse 16, it's implied by nature when it says to be seen, to be honoured by others, or to be with fasting so that others can see what's happening for you. The word in the original language, to be seen, is where we get our word theatrical or theatre from. So what is Jesus really saying here? He's saying, make sure that you've got the right audience when it comes to all that you do on the stage of life. And that right audience is not people around you, but your Father in heaven. Jesus is saying, don't take something that is sacred and special, an act of righteousness before God, whether that's prayer, whether that's giving, whether that's fasting, or whether that's something else. Don't take something that is sacred and special and turn it into something that draws attention to yourself before others, or that becomes more about you than about God. Let's take a closer look at one of the areas Jesus says not to do this in, prayer. And of course, the Lord's Prayer is found within this, that's well known to many of us. But verse 5 says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Now, we could look at fasting, we could look at the first one, giving, but we'll just look at prayer for a moment. In Bible times, everyone read aloud. If you were reading on the train to work, not that they had trains to go to work in Bible times, if you were reading on the chariot to work or on the donkey to work or whatever it might have been, you do it out aloud. Everyone read aloud. That was just the culture of the day. Our culture today is quite different. I've been back and forth to the city a number of times this week, and no one's reading aloud on the train when plenty of people reading, but not many people are reading aloud. And the same went with praying. It wasn't a thing you did silently in your heart. It was something that people did aloud. And Jesus is saying here, okay, you pray aloud, but don't pray your prayers in a way or a spot that is prominent. You can pray anywhere. So don't choose to do your own prayers out loud at the most prominent spots. The synagogue or on the street corners are actually the most prominent spots. Why? Because that's where you know lots of people will be. It's a bit like me picking the steps of Flinders Street Station to pray aloud at. It's not terribly private. And it draws attention to myself. Jesus is saying, pick somewhere that doesn't draw attention to yourself. Verse 6, he says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And by the way, Jesus is not saying that there's not a place for public prayer. Public prayer is very important. But the context of what Jesus is talking about here is our own personal prayers. And a lot of people actually misunderstand the Lord's Prayer, which is embedded in this as a part of that. It actually is intended primarily to be a personal, private prayer to God, not a public thing that that people all do together. Yes, it can be applied in that setting, but its primary purpose was for personal, private prayer. So as we think about this further, what is Jesus saying? He's calling us to live and to serve and to pray for an audience of one, not an audience of many. Is my focus, is your focus on the right audience in all that we are and do? Secondly, though, Jesus is saying, not only be very careful that you have the right audience, but be very careful to do what we do with the right motives. This is central to these verses, to realize that even doing the right things is meaningless in God's eyes if it's done for the wrong reasons. God looks at our heart and God looks at our motives before he looks at our hands and our actions. John Stott, a great Christian theologian, put it like this. Our Lord is concerned throughout this sermon with motivation, with the hidden thoughts of the heart. The question is not so much what the hand is doing, but what the heart is thinking while the hand is doing it. There are three possibilities, John Stott said. Either we are seeking the praise of others, or we preserve our anonymity, didn't say that right, anonymity, but we are quietly congratulating ourselves, or we are desirous, thirdly, of the approval of our divine heavenly Father alone. Let me ask each of you, and I ask myself equally, are you more interested in the glory of God or in your own reputation? Are you more interested in living out your identity in Christ or in projecting an image before others? Are you okay when no one notices that act of service you carry out? Or when the focus is on someone else and who you are and what you've done doesn't seem to be recognized? Are you okay with that? Because that's the true test of whether our motives are right or not. Paul puts it like this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, when he says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. You know, this, I want to press the pause button there and just talk a little more about this, because I believe this is a really big issue for people, all of us, for any or many of us. We're being a people pleaser becomes very prominent. We're looking for acceptance, or looking for acknowledgement, or looking for admiration, or looking for approval of others. It becomes a core part of our lives, where we can get caught up in being a people pleaser. But where does that come from? That stems from the core issue behind it, which is an identity and an image issue. Is my identity based in God? And is my identity based in who I am in God? Or is my identity based more on what others think and who I am before others? It's an important question. And then the image one. Does my security and my sense of worth and my image of myself come from God and what God says about me? Or does it come from others and what they say? Because this is the heart of the issue. And it's an issue that affects everything else in our lives. What is the source of my identity? Is it God or is it what others think? Is it in pleasing God or is it in pleasing others? And again, when it comes to our sense of worth and security and image, is that based on in God, or is it and what God says about us, or is it based on what does it ebb and flow according to what others say and what others think? That's why Jesus is pinpointing this as he does here in Matthew, that we need to do what we do with the right motives. And the third aspect of what Jesus highlights is to be very careful not only that we do what we do with the right audience, with the right motives, but thirdly, to do what we do in the right way. Jesus doesn't just tell us what not to do. He tells us how to do things. He gives us a better way. Verses 3 and 4, verses 6, and then verses 17 and 18. This is what he says when it comes to each of these areas that he specifically mentions. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Verse 6, speaking of prayer, when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father, who's unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Again, saying a similar thing. In verse 17 and 18, when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And again, it's repeated, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What's the common thread that's running through each of these ways where Jesus is speaking about the better way? And it's this, doing things in secret or in a way that isn't obvious before others. The best way to counter what I've just spoken about, what Jesus addresses, the best way to counter what I call approval addiction, which is a craving for the approval of others, the best way to counter that is to join what I call the secret service club. What do I mean by that? To do things that bless others or to serve God in a way that is known by God but is not necessarily known by others, or at least many others. Random acts of kindness do that. Other things do that, but certainly random acts of kindness do that. And I've been blessed by people here who've shown random acts of kindness to me. People who have done things anonymously. People who have blessed me in anonymous ways, and I have no idea who they are. But they have chosen to do that, a secret act of service. That's the kind of attitude and that's the kind of approach that Jesus is speaking about here. That we are to be people who are characterized more by acts of kindness and service that are not necessarily evident to others than simply by what is evident to others. Can I challenge you, as I challenge myself, to do a random act of kindness in this week ahead? To do something that you'll get no kudos or thanks for, whether it's serving or giving or blessing or praying or anything else. But to do it before an audience of one, the only one that really matters, our Heavenly Father, God. There are many ways that we can all serve in the life of the church and beyond. There are many ways that we can all bless others. And clearly many of those things are done in ways that are evident to others. But Jesus calls us to not be limited to that, to ensure that our heart is right before God, to ensure that we're doing things for the right audience, with the right motives, and in the right way, and certainly doing random acts of kindness where very few people, if anyone, know about it, is a way to counter that. So that's a challenge for each of us over this week ahead, to do a random act of kindness for someone else, to bless someone else, to do something that that no one else knows about, simply out of a way of living for, serving, and expressing our faith for God. So how about I pray, and then we'll wrap up with a closing song. Gracious God, I pray that each of us would come back to, or come to the first time, come for the first time to the security that we can find in you. That each of us would know our identity, who we are, first and foremost in you. That we are loved just for who we are. Not for what we do, but for who we are. That we are special and significant to you, and that you look at our hearts. God, help us to find our, help us to be anchored in our identity in you. Help us to also have that sense of real, real worth, and a sense of approval, a sense of wanting to please you. As the one that we please more than anyone else. God, as you look at our hearts, we recognize how easily we can have mixed motives. God, we confess how easily we can be not living out our faith, our life, our acts of service, always in ways that are honorable. God, in ways that are pleasing to you. God, help us not to look to impress others. Help us simply to have a heart that seeks to be grateful to you and live out the things that express our love for you. God, help us to reflect on the audience. Are we serving for an audience of one? If there was no one else around, would we still be doing the same things that we're doing? God, help us to evaluate our motives. And may we go into this week to live for and to serve you in ways that are countercultural, in ways that are countering a sense of approval addiction, countering seeking after being noticed by or getting affirmation and approval of others through acts of kindness, through acts of service, whether others are aware of it or not. God, thank you that your Spirit works in us and through us. And we pray that not only would that be true this morning, but that would be true as we live out our lives for you over this week ahead. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord, in whose name we pray.